When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, I don't know if this is something that you need to know specifically, Sedano, but
I mean, that's
like,
kind of the segment.
Well, so I'm just saying
I'm hoping
this is something
that's the case.
I think you should know. And okay. I know this is something that Cappy needs to know because it involves social media and popular famous women and celebrities on social media.
Okay.
So I feel like this is something Cappy definitely needs to know.
Okay.
Kylie Jenner's reign as Instagram's most followed woman has come to an end.
Wow.
Big deal, right,
Yay.
Cappy? Any guesses on who is now number one?
Britney Spears?
No.
No.
But
her sister Kim?
No.
Hold on. Rihanna?
No. That's a good guess, though.
Beyonce?
No. Nope. You're kind of like in the...
Taylor Swift?
He Googled.
She's a musician.
Taylor Swift?
I'm going to tell you guys right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm very proud to tell you that I do not follow Kylie Jenner.
Thank God.
She has 380 million followers on Instagram.
That's more than the United States population.
I mean, dude, she can influence like worldwide decisions with 380 million followers on Instagram.
She can.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm proud as hell. I don't follow the girl.
Good for you.
Do you guys?
No, I don't.
Hell no, why?
Hell to the nah.
No.
I follow her.
Lindsay.
It's just interesting, you know? Like, I like, you know, I have like,
you
the, like
love
the whole
the
celebrity. Yeah, the celebrity
no
gossip. That's my
list.
Thing.
I'm a follower right now.
Oh, hell.
You know, I could be wrong, but I think I read the other day that Barack Obama is the most followed person on Twitter.
He is, yes.
Yeah.
I did hear.
Really?
That.
I do follow Barack. Barack follows me, even though he follows a lot of people, though, too. I don't really actually think that's him doing his social media.
That's awesome. He follows you.
All right, so
but he follows like 50,000 people.
Who cares?
I
that's
think,
a good flex.
Yeah, 50,000. That's still like, you know,
dude, it's got to be more than that. It's probably like 500,000.
Dude, why don't you slide into his DM?
Cappy, does Barack Obama follow you?
He does not.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. Barack
I mean,
Obama,
not that I know
he
of.
Does. He follows 565,000 people.
Who
yeah,
cares?
But how
that's
many followers does he have?
133 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's the deal? So who now is taking over for Kylie Jenner?
No more guesses?
Barack Obama?
Nope. Oh. Nope. It's Selena Gomez.
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
that surprised me. That's why I thought this was kind of a big deal.
Good for her.
I just watched her documentary.
What does she have now?
So, Kylie, as of 5 o'clock, just a few minutes ago, I double checked. Kylie has 465,719 followers.
Right, because I was just number 19. That's right.
Exactly. No, you'd be 20. 720. Because this was before you checked. So, Selena has her by, it was 49, but now 50. 380,433,770.
Okay, and now 771, because I just followed Selena Gomez.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't follow her either.
Isn't that kind of like shocking, though, that Selena Gomez, like, I would never in a million years think that she
I would
most,
not have guessed that.
Yeah,
I would have, I definitely would have thought Beyonce
or Rihanna.
Or
yeah.
Rihanna or Taylor. Tay-Tay. Yeah.
She's like a very silent killer when it comes to social media, though.
Who is she dating? She's dating somebody famous too, right?
She was. Oh. I don't
she
know
was
she
Bieber's girlfriend.
Oh, it was Bieber. That's
really?
What it was. Yeah.
They were like. The
now, was she
couple.
Dating Bieber when Key almost like, you know,
smacked him in the back
chased him
of the
down
head?
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to follow Miley Cyrus, who I don't follow. These are
oh,
now
she's
all
a great
suggestions
follow.
Now.
I love Miley.
Kendall Jenner, follow.
Yeah, she's boring.
Justin Bieber, follow.
Yeah, he's a good follow.
Ariana Grande, follow.
She's good too. Mm.
Billie Eilish, follow. I mean, this is, I don't
You're going to follow all the people your kids follow, basically.
Well, I guess I didn't realize I'm not following any of these people.
Yeah. I don't care to follow anybody.
Me neither.
Like
yeah, I'm good.
You should follow Hailey Bieber. She's got good posts.
You know what I follow? NBA History. That's a great Instagram.
NBA
actually.
History?
Oh,
yeah.
Go
follow NBA History.
NBA History.
It's really good.
Selena Gomez is dating someone now. She's dating the guy from Chainsmokers.
Oh, well, there you have
his
it.
Name.
All right. NBA History. Follow.
That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resorts.
Anybody else that you recommend?
Good times, less than 90 minutes
Me.
From wherever they are.
Okay, well, I already follow you. Anybody follow
Madonna.
You
Madonna's, guys? She's a weird one. You got to follow her just for
You know who I'm about to unfollow on Instagram?
Who?
Me?
No, the Liver King. Do you guys follow the Liver King?
I don't know who the Liver King is.
He's full of it. Joe Rogan found out he's a liar.
Right. So Liver King is this like guy. He's all steroided out of his face, right? Mm-hmm. And he's always telling everybody that the reason he's so ripped is because he eats like just every animal part that there is, mm-hmm. and he, including like the raw liver and the heart, the testicles. He's like, look at these testicles. They're awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then Rogan busted him as a steroid user when he's been lying that he wasn't all juiced up.
Right.
And now the Liver King has this whole thing where he's like, yeah. it's natural Liver King and I'm back and, you know, the queen liver queen, you yeah. know. And I'm like, hey, King, you know, you lost me, man.
Yeah, I don't follow Rogan either, that's why I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't really listen to Rogan.
Rogan's not my guy.
Yeah, I listened to an interview he did recently, though. Took me like 4 days in the gym to finish it finally.
Yeah.
It was him and Dave Portnoy.
Oh, that was a good one.
It was good. It was okay.
No interest in either.
It was okay. I like Portnoy. I think his story's interesting.
Yeah, I don't like the guy, but I had to listen to it.
But I'll tell you, it got into a whole conversation about MMA and boxing, so it was never really about Dave and his story and how he started Barstool and, you know, starting with a newspaper publication and, you know, where they've blown up to today. So I was looking for that, and instead I got a lot of MMA analysis.
I thought it was kind of funny how...
Oh my God, speaking of which, we should have Ariel Helwani on soon.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, we should honestly do it. Like, maybe like
a big fight coming up.
Maybe like reach out to him tomorrow because next week's gonna be really busy for him.
Yeah.
See if he can do it tomorrow.
Okay, I'll
talk. We have an early show, right? So we should.
Yeah, we're on until 5:30 tomorrow. Yeah.
See if he can do it tomorrow because I want to talk to him about John Jones.
When is that fight?
Next Saturday.
March 3rd.
Oh no, it's this Saturday.
No, it's not. It's March 3rd.
What's today's date? Yeah, you're right. It's next Saturday.
March 4th.
Yeah. Next Saturday.
I'm going to it.
You're
going to
go?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're going? Is it in Vegas, I assume?
It is, yeah.
And you're going?
My host hooked me up.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would love to go, but I've got a game the next morning. Like, basically, the Lakers play at 12:30 against the Warriors, and I have that game on ESPN Radio. So it means I got to be at the arena by like 10. Like, I'm not making it back from Vegas at that time.
Really? Your host hooked you up with tickets?
Yeah, you want to come?
It's gonna be a hell of a fight. You know, I would totally go. If the game that I was doing was just like 3 hours later, I would do
it. Come on, you could do it. You know, you
No, I'm definitely not gonna be able to
drive back after the fight.
No. March 4th. I did that one time. It was a pain in the ass.
Oh, it would be so fun. Plus with Sedano, you know, Sedano knows everyone there.
Well, it sounds like you got the place wired.
Well, no, it's just
tickets. I could get us into the suite.
Yeah, he could get us into like the good stuff. I just got tickets.
All right. Nah.
But I'm not gonna go.
Nah, I'm gonna be in Mammoth.
I can't go. If the game was a 3:30 tip here as opposed to a 12:30, then I'd do it. But that 3 hours is huge. So, and driving back in the middle of the night, I did that for Conor McGregor a couple years ago, and it's just like miserable driving back that late.
I started doing it a couple weeks ago when I was there, and I got like, you know, to the first exit. You know how like there's not an exit for a long time?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, nope, not doing it. And I turned around and went back and stayed until the morning. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no way, dude. It's brutal. I did it one time and that was it.
Now I will say this. John Jones.
Have you been to a UFC fight?
I've never been to a live UFC fight.
Oh, we should go.
But John Jones is the kind of guy, and I don't, well, how long has it been since he's fought?
It's been a couple
years.
3 years,
okay, see, now that's the kind of guy that makes me, on a Saturday night, buy
watch
a pay-per-view.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you guys had talked about a fight a couple weeks ago when Umglamakov fought.
Oh, my gosh.
What was that guy?
Islam Makhachev.
What's his name?
Islam Makhachev.
I wasn't that far off.
That's pretty far off.
Umglami Unglamachov?
Yeah. You didn't even say that.
I don't know
against
what I said.
Alexander Volkanovski.
Yeah, Volkanovski.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys were like, yo, did you see
those guys? Those guys are badasses.
I'm not saying they're not badasses.
They'll
I'm just
kick
saying,
your ass.
Listen,
in
they-
In 2 seconds.
Maybe in a UFC fight.
No, in a real fight, too.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about something else that I might kick their ass in.
In what?
I don't know. Pickleball, maybe?
Nah, they'd beat you pickleball.
You think so?
Too. No question.
They're too tight, those guys. They don't have loose enough hips, you know?
Do you know how to say Khabib's last name?
Habib Nurmagomedov?
Can you say Kebby?
Nurmagomedov. Yeah, him.
Nurmagomedov.
Yes.
There's a female fighter who, Justine Jezernerjic. That one's a tough one.
Oh, her. Jezernerjic. I've heard her.
You know what I'm talking about, Sedano?
Yes.
I can't say it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I will say this. John Jones, I could say that no problem. John Jones, I'll watch that fight on Saturday night.
You're going to watch it? You're going to buy it?
I'll pay per... Don't get crazy.
Oh, you're going to go somebody's
house.
Don't
it.
Get crazy.
You're going to watch it at somebody. You're going to find out which one of your Hey Kings is going to buy it for
Well,
me.
No, I'm going to be up in, I think I'm going to be up in Mammoth that weekend.
Oh, well, there you go. You go to a bar.
Well, no.
No?
I'll be at somebody else's house.
Oh, so you'll be at Rachel's house.
And then, you know.
And then you'll charge it to her.
I won't. I'll be like, babe, we got to see this fight tonight.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, no, do we really? I'm like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
She's like, okay.
Yeah.
And she'd buy it.
Right. She'll pay the $70.
I don't know. Maybe I'll find a bar. But that's the kind of fight I want to see.
It is a good fight.
John Jones.
Yeah. He was, I mean, he was pound for pound at one point. I thought the best fighter in the sport. But it's been a long time since he fought. And, you know, he's fighting in Ciryl Gane, who...
Uh-oh, a sigh.
Kickboxer, I think, has a lot of the tools, doesn't have the experience to fight against a John Jones, but he certainly has the ability to beat a John Jones if he... Like, in that... Look, this is the thing about MMA. All it takes is one shot. You know what I'm saying? We saw Israel Adesanya dominate a fight a couple months ago, and in the last round get popped, and that's the end of it. Like, you could literally dominate a whole fight. One blow, it's over.
What's the guy's name that he's fighting? Ciryl what?
Ciryl Gane.
Ciryl Gane?
C-Y-R-I-L-G-A-N-E. He's Ciryl French. Gane.
Oh, he's French, huh?
Yes.
Okay. You know that now they're saying if John Jones wins, he wants to fight Stipe.
That was the fight that people thought he was going to do originally.
And Stipe hasn't fought in like... And not only that, when Stipe, he just walked away. He never lost the belt. He just kind of away.
Who is this? Stipe Makakampachop?
Stipe Miocic. He's from Cleveland.
Not close, not too far.
No, you added way more syllables than you needed to be.
Makachapachov.
No, Islam Makachev.
Yeah, him. Him. Conor McGregor, easy. John Jones, easy.
Conor McGregor's going to fight again.
Really?
He's doing the Ultimate Fighter, which means he's going to fight again against Michael Chandler.
Yep. That's going to be a big deal.
No, it is, but it's not.
Dude, he's going to break his leg again.
He's not the fighter he used to be.
He's not, but I think it's interesting that they're doing it on like regular TV too, and they're not making it into a pay-per-view.
Right. I actually like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he has to win that fight for me to say I'm willing to spend money on it again.
Yeah, you're probably right, because he was so
I was there fast. When he broke his leg. That was the last fight I went to in person.
I've never been to one of these UFC fights. I mean,
did I show you the picture of me and Stephen A. in that suite that day?
I don't think so.
Oh, this is a great... Stephen A.'s got one of the greatest jackets I've ever seen in my life.
Many boxing matches, but I do say, like UFC, MMA fights, I feel like everybody who's there wants to fight.
What?
Yeah, like I feel like everybody in the stands, like... You're looking at me like you want to fight?
It's
like right now,
like
let's go.
A riled up crowd.
Yeah, let's go right here, right now. Let's go.
The first time I went to a UFC fight, I was covering it for Fox, and I was like three rows back, and it was when Stipe won the championship in Cleveland, which was awesome. And just hearing the like the smacks, like it's crazier than boxing because you know boxing you can hit them when they punch, but they have gloves on.
Well, that's a good looking picture of you.
So
and
it's
Stephen
crazy
a.
when you hear like here, all the noises.
Look at that jacket.
I can see it now.
That jacket
I remember.
Stephen A. is wearing is out of control.
Was it the beige jacket?
Yeah,
I remember that picture.
Yeah.
Very sharp.
It was white jacket. He was wearing a white jacket, and it was two chains.
I'm with George Sedano, and I'm bloviating.
And by the way, I was looking fit in that picture. Look at that bicep right there.
I mean, you are looking thick.
Yeah.
I'm kind of puffy.
Yeah, but like good thick.
Yeah, you like the way you look there, huh?
Yeah. I like being thinner now as I'm older. But that I look like I was definitely lifting good those weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is like pandemic, right? What date is this? Hold on. Yeah, 2021. It was the first big pay-per-view during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in great shape then. Like, though that is not puffy. That is I'm in good shape.
All
like,
right.
Like full garage gym, hiking every day, like 3 miles. Finally, like going out in the world. Yeah.
Were you on juice back then?
No, I don't need
juice. You're like the Liver King.
I don't need juice.
You're on the sauce.
The only juice I take is my smoothies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nutrition 53. Bill Romanowski.
Cappy, come have on. You ever juiced?
Yeah.
Have I ever juiced?
Yeah.
Yeah, you mean like where they take the cucumbers and like the celery?
Or steroids. Have you ever taken steroids?
No, but testosterone, yes.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. Testosterone is different.
Testosterone, you know, I could use some right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I could use like a big old testosterone boost.
Yeah?
Like a giant
T-shot. Go get yourself some.
Yeah.
You should get Mason some too.
You think he needs it?
I mean, you know, if he wants to look svelte.
Mm. Nice. He says he's at his fighting weight right now.
Right,
kid.
But I mean, it's all relative.
Have you done anything today to help our pickleball team with your fitness today? Have you done anything?
I mean, I went on a hike.
Okay. How long did you go?
Like 2 miles, 2.5 miles, three miles.
Come on, 2 miles. Wait, 20, 30 minutes out there on a hike?
No. Hold on. Let me look at how many steps I've done today. 5.4 miles. So I would say that the hike was probably like 3 or 4 miles. Now
all right. I mean, I put in a good solid 45 minutes with Alex Toussaint with a Club Bangers ride today.
I'm not worried about my cardio, though.
I'm just saying that if you're not playing pickleball, you're not working on your skills.
I told you on Thursday.
Do
next,
something.
Not tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. I said, we're going to play. You said, okay.
A week from tomorrow?
You said yes already to me.
Thursday the 2nd?
Ay, Dios mío.
Thursday. I have it right here on my phone. Pickleball practice.
Yes. What time?
It says 10 a.m.
Okay.
Is that really happening?
You can even do the CappyCast from my house if you want.
No, I'm gonna do it. I think I'm gonna come play pickleball, come do the show, and then I'm gonna drive to Mammoth. Anybody want to go with me?
No.
Why not? It's gonna be fun.
I mean, I can't just like get up and go. I've got things to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I live. I always got things to do too.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Cappy. We never actually got into the Lakers and this team's expectations.
Yeah, let's do that.
We did a lot of UFC talk.
Mananga Menehela.
Why did you make him Hawaiian?
Mananga Nama.
Oh, so let's get into the Lakers, and I want to get into this Caleb Williams story that's pretty juicy out there. Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback, said something that's got people all like up in arms. So we'll get to all that coming up next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dust yourself off and try again.
Haven't heard this song in ages.
Yeah. First you don't succeed.
Yeah.
Try again. Dust yourself off and try again. Try again.
This is why people need to watch the YouTube show.
Why is that?
Because when we get down and we jam like this.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining.
By the way, shout out to Dead Meow 5 on the Sedano Cap Circle of Trust. He is correct. Stipe lost the belt when Francis Ngannou KO'd him.
I'm not in the Circle of Trust today. I'm on the YouTube live chat.
Yeah.
Which is going on right now.
Nah, I'm always in the Circle of Trust.
I hear the YouTube live chat gets pretty gnarly.
It's basically like the Mason Ireland Reddit.
Yeah. Like it's
just unruly.
Unfiltered, uncurated, ungood.
Yeah.
Ungood.
Just be nice, people. Don't be jerks.
Nah, people are jerks.
On God.
Yeah.
My question, though, is why are people watching us on YouTube if they don't like us and they want to be mean?
Because they ain't got nothing else to do.
Good point. Yeah,
they love us, these freaking people. Are you kidding me?
So what do you love about the Lakers potentially moving forward with this team? Like, what are the expectations right now?
So what
And then I want you, if they keep this team together,
yeah.
Let's just say for argument's sake, what the expectation is for next season too.
I'm glad you asked it that way.
Yeah.
Because here's what I think. The Lakers must and will, presuming two things. Obviously, LeBron's healthy and AD's healthy. And let's just assume for a moment that they're going to play in all 23 remaining games.
Correct.
Okay. This team has the capability, has the roster, has the leadership to go on a massive run. And if you look at the Lakers' schedule over the next 23 games, the teams that they're playing are the teams that are in front of them.
Correct.
So they can not only win games, but they can, every time they win one, take another step to climb over whoever's in front of them.
Yeah.
So my expectation is this. The Lakers will 1,000% play in the postseason. Somehow, some way, play in, play off, huge run, sixth seed, or maybe they just are in a ninth or tenth seed. They've got to be in the postseason. And the NBA knows that the Lakers have to be in the postseason. You cannot have the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James out of the postseason 2 years in a row. So if the referees have to start making up calls.
What are you, Tim Donaghy?
All I'm saying is they jobbed the Lakers in Boston as an example. If they got to make a couple of correction calls.
But you also realize the Lakers have had more calls go their way in the 2 minute report than any other team.
The answer is no, I don't, and I don't care. What I'm saying to you is that somehow, someway, this league got to get this team and this player into these postseason games.
You basically want it to be the WWE, is what you're saying.
Pretty much is what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Okay.
So, assuming they make it, and let's just say they don't go far.
Right.
Because
what's far?
I mean, let's say they make it past the first round.
So you're saying they upset like a Denver or a Memphis?
I just don't think it's kind, listen, it's kind of like what Magic Johnson said, right? If the Lakers get in, no one's going to want to see them. Certainly not in a series, because this team will be gelling at the right time. So let's just say they get bounced in the second round, okay? Make it, get bounced. Keep this team together. Then your question is, what's your expectation next year? I'll tell you what my expectation is. What everybody else who's listening's expectation is. Championship. You made these trades. You got this team better. You got rid of the locker room problems that you had. And now you're going to have this team together for an offseason.
Right.
And the entire regular season.
Yeah.
Why would you expect anything else?
So you would expect what? Like what are you looking at next regular season?
I expect these guys to be in the Western Conference Finals and have a chance to play for a championship.
Okay.
If they keep this roster together.
Okay.
Okay, I'm putting it back on you. What is your expectation over the next 23 games? What do you say?
My expectation is like 15 or 16 wins. They get into the play-in. They escape the play-in, but then they lose in a first-round series.
Because they're going to have to play somebody that's a higher seed, like a much higher seed. Like,
well, and they may have to play two games to get out of the play-in.
So what?
No, but that's my point, though. What, it's in one-game scenarios, anything can happen.
No doubt.
Yeah. But, and that takes a lot of energy out of you to play one-game scenarios. And then literally, the next, you win that play-in, you're in. 2 days later, you're playing another game in the first round while that team's been sitting waiting for you for a week.
Yeah, I'll look at it like this. They're going to be rusty.
No.
And we're going to be battle-tested.
That only works for like a half or a game, maybe.
You got to train your mind, George. Yeah. You got to train your mind to see things a certain way that are only in a positive light.
Right.
See?
Now, if they play Memphis, I like their chances better, but they'd have to get to the seven, so that's tough. Against Denver, I don't love their chances.
Okay.
In a first round.
Give me a couple other scenarios. Who else?
I mean, there's really only those two.
Okay, so Denver, you don't love their chances.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances in a series against Denver. I'll definitely take my chances in a series against Memphis. Younger, athletic, I got it, but I'm going to put my eggs in the LeBron basket, you know, in the AD basket. And I'm going to assume that in the next 23 games, not only are the Lakers going to go on a massive run, I'm talking like 19-4, you know, 18-5. I'm talking big run. And then this team's been together. It's been a month. It's been, you know, hanging out on the road. It's going out to dinners. It's getting to know everybody off the floor. It's gel and vibe on the floor. Massive run. Make it into the postseason. And, you know, I like to make a little postseason noise, you know.
Yeah, what noise will you be making?
That would be the Brock Purdy noise.
It'll be the Brock Purdy
noise?
Yes,
the Brock Purdy noise. That would be the noise that the Lakers would be making.
Wait, which one is that? Is that the...
That's that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that
right.
One. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the Brock
It's not
Purdy.
The Anthony Davis one.
No, because that's the one that ends with the owie.
No, that's not Anthony Davis. That's like whimpering someone else's
that's
whimpering.
That's the Tom Brady one.
I got you guys.
Oh, that was when Tom Brady retired, yes.
Ow!
Wow, that was like
that
a
was
combo.
Both at both. Once, yeah.
That was Purdy and AD.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that one.
That's the AD that's noise AD. You don't want to hear.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we know what happened to Brock Purdy.
Yeah. He also ended up being Right. But he ended up out.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to make some noise in the playoffs, though.
Right, yeah.
Now let me throw it back at you. You ready?
Throw it. Oh, yeah, there's that one. That's a good one. That's a good relief. Yeah.
I like that one.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's say the Lakers do what you said.
Let's say they do.
They make it into the play-in.
Yeah.
They win, and they get knocked out in the first round because they played against Denver, and Denver's far superior. Look at their record. Look at the season.
And by the way, everyone likes to talk about how Denver is not a good defensive team. They're a top 10 defensive team the last month and change, like 6-7 weeks. So.
That's what I always say about how great they are defensively. I mean, I don't know who you're talking about.
No, nobody says they are. Everyone thinks like, oh, they don't play any defense.
So here's the thing. Let's say the Lakers make it in. They lose to the Nuggets in the first round. Now, the same question you asked me. They keep this roster together. What's your expectation next season for this roster, for this Laker team?
Let me see. Well, we're obviously trying to figure out like what players would be there. Now,
well, just assume
let's say
that
everyone stays relatively the same. Like the stars don't go anywhere.
D'Angelo Russell staying.
No, but I'm talking about
Malik
the other
Beasley
teams.
Beasley staying.
Forget it. No, I know. Those guys I get. But I'm talking about the other teams.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
So basically, we're just assuming the nucleus of all these other teams are staying.
Everybody's the same.
Right, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Right, there'll be some small periphery moves. But I would say, hold on, Denver would be better. Memphis would probably still be better in the regular season.
You're going to say Phoenix.
Phoenix for sure.
You're going to say Golden State, assuming that Steph would be back.
I don't know. Just, I mean, they need to make a move. I don't know what that move is, but they probably will this offseason is my guess. I would definitely say Denver in the regular season, Phoenix in the regular season, Memphis in the regular season. Clippers, maybe.
Maybe you all, but now you got the Lakers in like
Let's just say they're like a 5 or 6 seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
You take Anthony Davis healthy, LeBron James healthy, and this core of players playing an entire season together.
They're somewhere
in
between
the 5 seed.
I would say they're somewhere between 5 and 7.
Okay, so
maybe 4 if things break their way.
A championship could be won,
maybe
in that position.
Maybe.
I'm not saying it's definitive. I'm not saying it's an easy deal.
Maybe.
I'm just saying it's possible.
Maybe. I'd much rather them keep this team together. I mean, there is another option,
which is. Oh, please don't tell me. Don't even say it. Come on.
There is another option.
Don't even say it.
I mean, he's a free agent.
Do I have to? Come on.
Hmm?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Hmm?
Just like Russ, who we saw eventually, his true personality came out.
Did you see LeBron at the All-Star game when he picked him for his team?
No.
You did?
No.
Oh, he hugged, big hug. Gave him multiple fives.
No.
I mean, he was putting on a show. To be like, this is what I want, guys.
I, like the rest of the world, was not watching the NBA All-Star festivities. Just see the ratings to see how bad it was for them this past weekend. So, no.
I saw more people talking about that than pretty much anything else.
The LeBron, Kyrie,
it was still the most watched thing. It still was the most watched thing that night.
Okay. All right.
So, there's that.
Listen, I think LeBron was setting us up early this year. When he started to come out and defend Kyrie.
All I'm saying is, now I think Kyrie is going to take the place that gives him the most money.
Smart move.
Which will be Dallas, is my guess.
Be a smart move.
But there will be a conversation to be had about him in a Laker uniform.
Yeah, and when LeBron goes to see Rob and he says, hey, we really should go get Kyrie, Rob should say, dude, listen, you know how you keep telling everybody that you're letting me in the front office handle all of this? Just let us handle it. Did we not fix things at the trade deadline? Did we not?
Well, we don't know. We have to see what the results look like first.
Did we not improve the team?
Okay, now let me ask you this. What if they flame out and they lose in the first game in the play-in?
I still would like to see what this team looks like in a full training camp, an offseason, a coach with a little bit more experience, and everybody knowing, hey, we're getting to the end of the line here with LeBron. I'd much rather see this team become a team, not just a collection of individuals.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it. A lot of this will depend. Like, we're having this conversation. We don't really know what's going to happen. But a lot of this will depend on how this team fares now.
I think that's completely legit.
Right. But if they get beat in the first one, that's not good.
No. But if they all of a sudden go on the kind of run I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where it's 18-5,
listen, if they can
19-4.
If they can get in, they're dangerous.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be tough to win multiple series.
Well, again, expectations. If LeBron plays because it's in his DNA to chase championships, and if the Lakers only play for championships, then that's what the expectation should be.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. But I think it's also you put yourself behind the eight ball here.
Yeah. You were 2-10.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis missed like 25 games.
And at the beginning of the season, I told you, because I remember my guy Tom Haberstroh, when he used to work here at ESPN, he always used to cite this stat. That the first 20 games of the season are more representative of your chances to make the postseason than the last 20 games. And most people don't view it that way. And then everyone always screams, like last year, everybody was screaming, oh, you see the Celtics, they got hot. But that's the rarity. Like, that doesn't actually happen that way. The teams that generally win are the teams that do well from the jump.
Yeah, and I would guess that chances are they're teams that have been together. I mean, when you completely rebuild a roster over and over again,
probably.
Yeah. Disaster.
I would say continuity certainly helps, for sure.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks, Christopher.
We were just talking about Steve Irwin yesterday.
Yesterday, right. That's what I, as soon as that popped up, I was like, well, that's creepy.
Steve Irwin was the alligator crocodile hunter guy?
The croc hunter.
And he's the guy that got stung by something and died?
A stingray.
A stingray, yeah. Of all the ways to go, you thought for sure that he would, you know, a crocodiler would be the end of crocodiler.
Yeah. This was all based on the conversation yesterday about the old lady that got eaten by the alligator?
Yeah. And then, have you seen the video? I mean, isn't there a documentary, I think? No, Lindsay, you've probably seen it, about his kid?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, actually.
His two kids, they're both, Bindi is his daughter. I forget what his son's name is, but like he's like the Croc Hunter Jr.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys have never seen these reality shows where these guys show up in people's backyards and people are like, yo, I got a 12-foot alligator in my swimming pool. Can you guys come handle it? Or, hey, there's this giant alligator in our canal behind our house. We got to get this thing out. And these guys literally jump in the water and they fight these alligators. They bring them out and they wrestle them to the ground.
Didn't you, I mean, you grew up in the same area I did. Did you ever go to the Indian tribes where they would wrestle alligators?
Yeah. But those alligators were all doped up.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Wait, what do you mean they were doped up? Like the Liver King?
No, that's like, he's steroided up. They would like shoot the alligator with like some sort of
like a tranquilizer?
Yeah, like a tranquilizer.
Right,
yeah.
So then the guy could get on his back and be like, hey, check this out, everybody. And he'd pull him back like a cobra
and
clutch kind of
mouth.
A move.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Florida, weird place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird people come from there.
Yeah.
Just like you, Cappy.
Like us.
Yeah. Me? Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
I don't think you guys are weird. I think you guys are great.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. I think we're weird.
Well.
I think we could be weird and great.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Remember, two things can be true at once.
It's on the
Both
t-shirt.
Both can
I've
be true,
that.
Yes. Okay, so guys, Coca-Cola is moving beyond the experimentation stage when it comes to ready-to-drink alcohol. One of Coke's products with the highest potential from their new alcoholic drink line is rolling out globally. The Coca-Cola and Jack Daniel's Jack and Coke drink,
they recently
rolled it out in Europe, and now the product is headed to U.S. shelves in March ahead of the spring break season. Mm-hmm. The canned Jack and Cokes contain about 5% alcohol, and it comes in full sugar and zero sugar options. Do you guys think that the pre-made canned Jack and Cokes will be a big hit for consumers?
So I'm going to swipe right because, I mean, pre-made drinks, if you go to the grocery store,
in the beer
section, they're everywhere, and people are buying them. It's, you know, all those seltzer drinks and Bacardi has one too now. And obviously there's all the different ones with like vodka and whatever. Yeah, that's like the craze. Now, I'm actually stunned it took Coke and Jack Daniels this long to kind of come up with this.
I mean, these two guys should be like Reese's. Like you put chocolate and peanut butter together. You put Jack and Coke together. I personally don't drink Jack and Coke.
Me neither. I don't like the way it tastes.
But I would say this. The question is, do you think it'll work? Do you think it'll be a hit? I'm swiping right. Yeah, I think it'll be a hit. Everything Georgia said about all these pre-made drinks, pre-made margaritas and pre-made this drink and that drink. And it's like, I don't really ever drink those pre-made drinks.
I didn't either. And then I bought some Bacardi, like a Rum Runner one during the summer. Not bad. Now, it's not something I would drink regularly because it's a little too sweet for me. I like more like bitter when I drink, you know, or at least something that doesn't taste like syrupy. And that's what that stuff tastes like. But for like one can on like a nice sunny day in the pool, it was good for one can.
LB, they mentioned, will there be a Jack and Diet Coke?
Yeah, she said sugar-free option.
Yeah, but sugar-free option. I don't know if that was like the sugar-free Coke or maybe because like sometimes you're like, I want the Diet Coke.
Yeah, but sugar-free is just the same thing.
It is?
I mean, yeah, Diet Coke doesn't have sugar in it.
Right.
Oh,
but I mean, if you're talking about if they want to get into specifics of like Coke Zero versus Diet Coke, I do not
Coke
know
Zero
that.
Tastes better than Diet Coke.
Will there be a vanilla Coke?
I haven't had one in like a decade, but I remember it tasting that well.
How about cherry Coke and Jack?
That's a good idea. I used to love cherry Coke.
As a kid, I loved cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke would be my favorite cherry Coke.
And vanilla Coke.
Yeah. Vanilla Coke I don't really get into.
Yeah?
But
cherry Coke was always my fave.
Mm. Vanilla Coke kind of tastes like it's like flat.
Did you heart cherry Coke? Is that what it is?
I mean, yeah, I love it.
You hearted it?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Pump that heart.
I was just going to say, what the hell were you doing?
This is
there?
Where you pump
it. It looked
heart.
Like you were doing something like phallic-y to the microphone.
This is where you pump the
heart. But you were doing it in front of the microphone. It looked a lot different.
This is where you pumped the heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Much love.
All right, what's next?
To all y'all.
I was going to say, I feel like these will be a big hit on airplanes.
Yes.
Because I've noticed they've been serving, you know, they do like the pre-mixed margaritas.
Yeah.
And like the Topo Chico.
Yeah, and the Bloody Marys.
Yes.
See, that's,
yeah.
By the way, that's something you just mentioned, Topo Chico.
That's a Coca-Cola product.
Okay, Topo Chico. I didn't realize there was a hard version of a Topo Chico.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in this bar, and this girl was next to us that we knew, and she was drinking one. I was like, I'll have what she's having, because I just thought it was a soda water. And I was like, this doesn't taste right. Turns out it was like a hard seltzer Topo Chico. You got to be careful when you look. You know, are you getting the water, or are you getting the version that's like the hard seltzer kind?
Yeah. Yeah, you should look at the can.
By the way, on the delay... on YouTube, yeah. I just saw the heart thing with the microphone.
Yeah.
You're right. It did look very phallic.
Yeah. Yeah. Phallic-y.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So
you
I
know,
said,
John Ireland used the word phallic the other day, and I was like, did I really just hear that? And now you guys are using it, too.
Yeah. All right. Next.
All right. So you'll like this one, Cappy.
Mm.
Last week, Egyptologists working on an ancient cemetery uncovered what has been called the oldest and most complete mummy found in Egypt to date. It's located near the Pyramid of Djoser in Egypt. And it was a limestone sarcophagus containing the remains of a very rich man whom hieroglyphics named Hekashepas, who was probably the oldest mummy ever found. His remains were found covered in gold leaf with various jewelry pieces covering his body. They believe it's about 1,000 years older than King Tut.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
older than your boy Tut.
Yeah. Mm.
So you ain't Cappy, buying this?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you.
But Cappy, you aren't buying Tut, so you're not going to buy this.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. You buying this guy? Are you buying this guy being 1,000 years older than King Tut?
No, I don't buy any of this stuff. Like, I think
really,
King,
that's it?
Like King Tut, I went to that King Tut exhibit, you know, and they told me about archaeologists and Egyptologists in the 1920s that have no technology whatsoever to use, but yet they somehow found King Tut's tomb. And it was all just perfectly the way it was from 4 billion BC, you know, whatever that is.
Well, it's perfect because it's like inside of these pyramids and tombs and underground, and they're behind like fake walls and stuff. It's crazy.
I'm skeptical. That's all I'm saying. I'm just skeptical.
Are you buying it, Sedano? You think this is?
Yeah, I buy all that stuff. Things, a lot of things happened before we were around, you know. So yes,
I want to know when they find Swipe things right. like this guy who was covered in gold leaf. Like that's pretty elaborate. Like, why would you waste the gold leaf on a dead body?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you should go check out this King Tut exhibit. They teach you that back then in ancient Egypt, what they buried these guys with, if you believe they really did it, what they buried them with were things that they needed to take into the afterlife. You know, these were the things they needed to go on to the next life. So I guess what was this character's name?
Hold on, let me look at it's Hekashepas.
Yeah, him. He must have needed a whole bunch of gold leaf to go into the next life.
And all his chains. Just like Stephen A. with his two chains.
I was thinking more like Mr. T, foo. But
probably.
Yeah, need those too.
So I guess it's kind of similar to like, why do we bury people in coffins when they are so expensive? Like, just put me in a, like a sack, you know? Just put me in a pod. I don't need a whole, what are they called? Not coffin. What's the other word for it? Caskets?
What do you mean, throw you in a bag?
Sarcophagus?
I want to be buried in one of those burial pods that's like made of like, things that are biodegradable and they just kind of decompose into the earth.
You want to be buried in a cemetery?
Not even necessarily a cemetery. There's right. places, and then they plant a tree over you.
Yeah, you become a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, this is why yesterday I was saying the worst way to die would be to be eaten by an alligator, because then they got to go catch the alligator, cut the alligator open, and take what's left of you.
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they find out.
But what if you can't find the alligator?
Oh, they'll go in and find him, because the alligators are fat. Because they just ate an old lady.
That's so gross.
Yeah, it is horrible. It's a shame.
Ugh. I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
Okay, last one really quick here.
Ain't that old lady.
You hate.
Is it your grandma?
No, thank goodness.
Okay,
you
then.
You hate the old lady?
No, I said the alligator ate the old lady.
Yeah. Right.
Poor thing.
What's next, Lindsay?
A 30th MLS team will hopefully be announced by the end of the year, League Commissioner Don Garber told reporters today at a season kickoff event. He said the most likely cities for an MLS expansion team are Las Vegas and San Diego, Cappy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that?
I have.
Oh, San Diego should get another, like, legit, like, major league team.
No doubt.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. With those two being options, or the most likely options.
Was San Diego, what was the other one?
Las Vegas.
Oh.
Where do you guys want to see the MLS?
Well, you'd have to do Las Vegas in indoors, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they do soccer in MLS soccer indoors.
There'd have to be the first dome.
Yeah.
But you couldn't play that in, I mean...
You guys say that, but the MLS is a little weird when it comes to what facilities they'll play in. Like, in Seattle, they play where the Seahawks play, but they don't like it.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, they play where the Falcons play. They don't like that. They want to have their own stadiums. Most of them are kind of really small. Like, if you've ever flown up and landed in San Jose, you see they've got, like, this little 20,000-seat stadium. If you're in Columbus.
But the MLS season starts in the winter and ends in the the dead of the summer.
I understand, but George, believe me when I tell you. Anybody whose kid ever played competitive soccer, they put on these soccer tournaments in Vegas. It'd be 110 degrees and people are still playing soccer.
Don't you think, though, that they would build? Because they're already talking about building a baseball stadium and another arena for the NBA team instead of playing in the ones that already exist.
Yeah, there are no lack of venues that
they
can build.
Yeah, there's so much space there,
you know what they should do? Yeah. They should build like a little mini SoFi stadium in Vegas where it's outdoors, but there's a roof over it, you know, so like you can block the sun from the pitch. That's
look at
soccer
you,
talk
calling
right
the
there.
Pitch.
That's soccer
like
talk.
All right, that is what you need to know. Or no, that is not what you need to know. That is Radio Tinder, brought to you each and every day by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Up your game and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Coming up next, Cappy, Caleb Williams has sent everyone in a tizzy.
Mm.
The USC Heisman Trophy winning quarterback made some comments that has made the rounds. We'll tell you what those are next.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, good song. Ocean, throw my heart back on the floor. Reconsider my foolish notion. Hold me, but I wait for something more. Yes, I gotta have faith. Yes, I gotta have faith. Punch the screen with the guitar. Yeah.
Again, this is why I try and explain to everybody. Look, you're in your car right now. I got it. You turn on your radio. You know, you're at home. Maybe you use the mobile app, the ESPN LA app. But if you want to see how it all really goes down, that's why you turn on the YouTube. And you go to ESPN Los Angeles on YouTube. I mean, look at you all sitting back, kick shoes up on the desk, chilling.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we have a funny Al Michaels correlation today, because Chris is right. It is the anniversary of You Believe in Miracles, the 80 hockey team winning that match against the Russian team. So it started making me think of iconic calls today.
Mm-hmm.
Not just ones that we love. There's plenty of those, which we'll have. But a couple of that are great calls, but you're probably like, oh, what a great call, but what a miserable moment for me.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, that one didn't work out so well, you know? We won't use the field goal by Uncle Al, the Jaguars.
Well, I think it's funny that we're celebrating the 1980 Olympic call, Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes.
Yes.
And the last time Uncle Big Al was on TV.
Oh, Mason was killing him.
Everybody was saying, oh, what a horrible call. I expect so much more from the greatest broadcaster, NFL broadcaster. And I was like, what'd you guys expect? Do you believe in miracles? It was the Jaguars and the Chargers.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Seriously. So we'll get to that in a second. But let's get to Caleb Williams. So Caleb Williams today, or not today, the story came out today. The story came out that he did an interview with People Magazine.
Mm.
And I'm not surprised that he did an interview with People Magazine because, I have been around him a little tiny bit because I've done a couple of their games last year on ESPN Radio. He's a very interesting, worldly dude. Like, especially for a 19-year-old, I am blown away at how worldly he is, because I sure as hell wasn't that worldly at 19 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when you say that he's in People magazine, what are you saying? You're saying that they looked
for
him and
they did an interview with him.
No, I read it. But what I'm saying is that when a kid like Caleb Williams, who can now get sponsorship dollars and a company, some water company, and you know, says, hey, you're our spokesperson.
Yeah.
Let's take you and your family.
To the Super Bowl,
let's
right?
put you in the Super Bowl. He probably walked around Radio Row.
Yeah.
You know, he went on to all the big shows around the country.
Right.
Not this one.
No.
Okay.
Well, we didn't want to go to Radio Row anyways. So.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I didn't really want to go to Phoenix, but yeah. this year.
I've been there enough.
But Vegas. Yeah. Vegas next year. Gots to go. Gotta go. But the point is that, you know, you have a publicist. Mm-hmm. And the publicist says, hey, we've got the Heisman Trophy winner from USC, and he's got this water company that we're promoting, and we want to get him into People magazine. I mean, it's not like People magazine's like, hey, you know, I got a great idea for a story. Let's go find Caleb Williams. That's the publicist game. But anyway, the point is...
Why are you knocking the kid?
Oh, I'm not knocking him.
He's super interesting.
I'm not knocking the guy at all. I'm just saying...
Sounds like you're kind of knocking him.
It sounds like... Like you said, like People magazine went and found him because he's an interesting guy. No, a publicist got this story into People magazine. I'm only pointing that out. I'm a media critic.
I'm going to call Boney.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say Cappy's taking shots at your quarterback.
I'm not only not taking shots, I'll drink this AC plus ion water stuff that he's pitching.
Okay. You better. I want you to buy a whole case.
If I can find it, I will.
You better.
Where can I find it?
I don't know.
I got it at Costco?
Maybe Vaughn's?
Maybe.
I don't know. Albertson's?
Walk in
Pavilions,
and go, yo, you guys got Gelson's, that Caleb Williams water?
You know? Vallarta? I doubt it at Vallarta. I mean, you never know. Maybe.
Mm.
Vallarta, though, has the fire food, though. You want some good food, get yourself some Vallarta food.
Yeah?
Bro. All when right. I lived in Pasadena, I used to go to the Vallarta there all the time. I actually miss not having a Vallarta near me.
What'd you get there?
Everything? Mm. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mexican supermarket. It's some of the best food you'll get there.
A Mexicatessen?
First of all, they have... like chicharrones.
Oh, love chicharrones.
You know what chicharrones are?
Si.
What?
Aren't they like pig ears?
Pork rind.
The Hebrew brother, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So anyway, Caleb, in this interview, was asked, hey, you know what? You are draft eligible. You're 20 years old. You're going to be 21. He's 20 now. But you're going to be 21 when you're draft eligible. Like, you know, you'll be highly sought after. You're probably going to be the number one pick. But, you know, if you had your choice... Where would you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I'd like to be around younger coaches. I'd probably like to go to the Dolphins. I'd also want to play with guys like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike Gesicki. The defense isn't bad. That's probably my number one spot. And then he said, I also like the colors. The colors are pretty cool. And, of course, the weather's good.
Right. I mean, okay. So is
people are, like, up in arms because, like, how dare he say... That he wants to go somewhere. He hasn't even proven that he could be the number one pick, which I disagree. He's definitely going to be the number one pick. But, like he's not pulling an Eli Manning right now. Wait. Like I think people are making that leap that he's already pulling like an Eli Manning. Like, that he only wants to go to the Dolphins, which I don't think that's the case. I think he was just asked a question about, like, if you could pick any team, which team would you want to go to? And he said the Dolphins.
They got young coaches.
Right.
They got good wide receivers. They got cool colors.
Yeah.
They've got good weather. They've got a good scene. Miami sounds like such a dope place to go play.
Right.
Then he goes on to say, just by the way, so for anybody whose panties are in a wad over this, I mean, are you people serious right now?
Yeah.
The kid can't just give you an opinion?
Well, I heard Sliwa and Clinton today. Like, they were apoplectic about it.
How dare they be apoplectic?
You see? Look at you. You said it right this time.
He goes on to say San Francisco, the Raiders, the Falcons. He says, I'd play anywhere. So, I mean, come on, guys. Really? Like, who's upset because Caleb Williams is like, Miami.
Right. If,
like
if I had my druthers, that would be the place I'd want to play. But I'll play in all these other cities, too, or wherever.
What if he would have said something like, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to stay here in L.A. I'd love to be the quarterback of the Rams. Right. Would everybody be bent out of shape then?
Probably.
Still. Why? Probably, yeah. Because people get out. Because the national pastime is outrage now.
Wow. Everybody's just outraged.
Yeah. Just it's the national pastime.
It's my new thing, huh?
Yeah.
Just outrageousness.
Yeah.
Cappy, I'm kind of surprised that you don't have that point of view.
I was stunned too. I thought you'd be all in on, like, how dare he? The shield, go to where you're supposed to be drafted.
No, but listen, you
pay your dues.
You say, like, an Eli Manning, right?
Right, he's not doing that.
Right, Eli Manning
said, no, San Diego, go to hell.
Right, I'm not going to play for that crappy ownership.
Right.
And my father already told you that I'm not playing for this crappy ownership.
So I'm playing for the Giants.
Right, so I'm going to, I told you guys this, why'd you draft me?
Yeah.
And they said, well, we drafted you so we get some more out of the Giants. It turned into a lot more stuff.
I mean, that's true. I'd do that too.
I mean, listen, John Elway did the same thing.
Right. He didn't want to play for the Colts.
Right. He was like, you know what? I'll go play for the Yankees. Yeah. And they're like, no, that's baseball.
He's Granada
like,
that's Hill's right. own John Elway.
That's right. I'll go play baseball rather than play for the Colts.
Yeah.
I even think, I'm trying to remember, was there anybody else? I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks that maybe ever once said, I was thinking like Jeff George, but I think he went to the Colts.
Yeah, he went to the Colts.
Out of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But Caleb Williams, hey, young fella, listen. If you like the colors, and you like the receivers, and you like the young coaches, and you like the beaches, and the weather, and the club scene, my man, put it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking that
I'm mad at you.
I was thinking people might be offended, like, he's talking about replacing Tua, and Tua has a concussion issue. That's very insensitive.
Let me tell you something. As someone who grew up a Dolphins fan.
Yeah.
And has no real ties to them anymore, though I like them. They're nice. They were a nice story this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, if you tell me Caleb Williams went there, I'd buy a jersey again.
Yeah.
And I don't even wear jerseys.
I know they got this dumb thing they do at Dolphin games where they put celebrities on like the Jumbotron.
They do?
And
I haven't been in years, so
I wouldn't know. And they say fins up, and then the celebrities put the fin.
Make a fin to their forehead.
The top of their head.
Yeah.
And it's like the dumbest thing they've ever done.
It really is silly.
If they draft Caleb Williams and he's their quarterback, I'll fins up.
Go. Oh, you will fin up?
Yeah. All up in it.
Get finny with it?
That's right.
Okay.
On YouTube, people are commenting right now about my fin.
Mm. Well, it's covering your shiny forehead
they're
now.
They're checking me out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Caleb Williams. I think, I told you, Caleb Williams is the best college quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. And I love the comparison now to Mahomes because, honestly,
Mahomes that Mahomes doesn't even have, didn't have at that age for sure.
Well,
from an arm perspective and a running perspective.
Yeah, I mean, listen, honestly, I'll tell everybody this. I don't ever remember seeing Patrick Mahomes play one game in college.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury was his coach.
I don't remember seeing him play, not one time.
Really?
Never.
Hmm.
I mean, I know you studied Brock Purdy at Iowa State and you scouted him and everything, but I never once saw Patrick Mahomes play a game at Texas Tech while in college. But in seeing Caleb Williams and seeing what Mahomes is now, I can't find a comp to Mahomes in the NFL. Not Lamar Jackson, not Tua, not Jalen Hurts. There's really no comp to Mahomes. I would say
Caleb is the guy.
That Caleb is the most comparable talent.
Better.
Maybe.
Better. I'm telling you right now, better.
Really? So he will have a
right
better
now?
He'll have a better
no,
NFL
no,
career?
Right now, at 20 years old,
yeah,
way better than Patrick Mahomes was.
And what I'm saying to you is, I don't remember his sophomore year at Texas Tech.
I'm telling you.
So you saw Patrick Mahomes?
I saw him play, bro. He put up big numbers for Texas Tech. Texas Tech was putting up big numbers ever since Mike Leach was there, and Cliff took over after that.
Everything you're saying, I'm buying. I'm just saying to you that I did not see it with my own eyes when he was a sophomore in college.
Then you got to trust me.
I don't know.
I'm wearing glasses that you can see my eyes. You are not.
No, I am wearing the kinds of glasses that protect me from the sun, which I'm 5 feet away from. But they do look kind of cool on the YouTube.
3 minute countdown. That's still Cappy's eyeballs.
Mm-mm, not today because I'm wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
He wears his sunglasses at night like Corey Hart.
Wait, right. My question is if you take the sunglasses off, do your eyes still turn red?
If I sat here for the last 2 hours underneath this underneath this light.
If you take them off at 6:01, your eyes will be good?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I don't know.
But you know what we do? We will get to. I told you, you know, Chris had already mentioned that the, Uncle Al had the anniversary call of You Believe in Miracles. So we're going to get to some of the best calls. We're going to pick some calls that to me, mean something, right? Like if you're a sports fan, you remember these calls no matter what. And then there's going to be a couple where you're going to be like, yeah, why'd you have to bring that one up? So we'll get to that coming up next.